I don't know where to draw the line on who's young, who's not young. So we'll just say, if you feel young, I'm talking to you. There's a young man several years ago. When I first came to Norwich, Connecticut, that was in the first meeting that I had, sitting at a kitchen table in a house, and I was discussing with his mother and father and a couple of other people that were there the possibilities of beginning a work in Norwich, that God had, through many ways of dealing with us, had brought us to that point. And this young man later, after his mom and dad decided that the church had gotten too big, when we got up to 12 people, they had quit. And she said, it's just getting too big for us. But they had quit, and then he kept wanting to go to church to give his life to God. And so they practically kicked him out of the house. It was like, choose between church or your family. You can't have both. And for years, that man and his wife seemingly were very hateful toward the church. So I practically raised the young man. And as I was telling the brother tonight on the way up here, as we were discussing some beautiful thoughts and things that are in the Word of God, how that for several years I would travel to pick this young man up, take him to church, and would teach him along with another person that I would teach on the way to church, who is now our associate pastor there, would teach them the Word of God and the way of God. And this person became very strong, very dedicated to the cause of God, and was very used in the kingdom of God. I want to tell you something. When you're a young person and you want to give your life to God, God will receive you and bless you and will do mighty things for you. But don't ever flirt. Once you start getting yourself in the will of God, in the way of God, don't ever flirt with the world again. It's you have to cut your ties with the world. You have to separate from the world. There's no living on the edge in the church. You are either in it or you're not. And so the time came after several years of, after he actually felt his call to the ministry, this young person. One day he just suddenly wasn't there anymore. Just wasn't there anymore. And our hearts were broken. This was several years ago. And next time we saw him was a couple of years later. He showed up at church with earrings and long hair, tobacco on his breath, alcohol on his breath, looking like the people of the world think this. I guess some of the young people of the world think this is cool. But he looked like a very hurting soul. Because once you know God, once you've tasted of the goodness of God, once you've been used of God, once you have really been involved in the work of God, you can never get away from it and be happy. You can't be happy. You can try a lot of things, but there's nothing better than this. Once you get to this, this is as good as it gets. And anything else out there may attract and it may pull at you again, and the lights may shine. But during that time when this young person was out, I had a vision. I had a vision God showed me, because I was his pastor and I was watching for his soul. See, that's what pastors do. They watch for your soul. And God will show pastors things about the people in the church, not because he's invading your privacy. It's not because God is trying to share with one person something about you that nobody else knows. But this is the way of God. God uses his ministers and his pastors to speak to people, to warn people, to direct people, to help people. It's not that the preacher is here to interpret the word for you, but it's to deliver the word to you and to let you know that God really loves you, God really cares. And there's nobody ever as burdened. I don't care how many are praying, how many are crying, or how many are down on their knees calling on God. There will never be a soul in your church that is more burdened and more under the load than your pastor, because he carries the weight of looking out for all of your souls and knowing that he stands responsible to God, as accountable to God, to make sure that he warns you and tells you, this is the way to go. Don't go that way. Don't go this way. Stay on the narrow way. And many times God will point out to the man of God that this person over here is drifting, or this one over here is sliding. And when the pastor tries to correct these situations, it's not because he's mad. It's not because he's being mean or being abusive. It's just something that God loves you so much that he will allow his man of God to speak on his behalf to let you know, I care about you enough to warn you, don't go that way, because you've come this far, why throw it away? You know? So anyway, that was what was happening. I hope you can hear me, young person, because the ending of this part of what I'm telling you about is very current, and I'm going to tell you something very shocking in a moment. What can happen if you go the wrong direction, if you make the wrong choices. So this young person came back to the church, and I walked over. It didn't take a lot of persuasion. It didn't take a lot of trying to beg or get him to do it. I just walked over and put my hand on his shoulder when he came back in that condition, and I said, are you ready? And he just broke down and started crying. He said, yes, and he went running to the front because God was already dealing with him. God was already out there. You see, no matter where you find yourself out in the world, God will be there to be ready to rescue you if you will call on him, if you will turn to him. He loves you so much. I was telling a brother tonight, we have never really realized how much God really does love us, just as we can't comprehend how big heaven is, how wonderful heaven is. Neither can we comprehend the love of God. I'm not talking about this patty cake love of the charismatic movement. I'm talking about the love of God. And there's something deep here that will reach for you no matter how low you get, no matter how far away you get, no matter how hardened you become. It'll be there. It's God's presence saying, come on back. But he won't force us. He won't try to make us do things, but he will welcome us if we will turn to him. No matter how wretched we may feel that we are, and no matter how bad it may seem that the conditions are, when you call on the name of the Lord with a sincere heart and you show your desire to know him and to get that relationship with him as it should be, he's there with open arms to say, I love you and I want you and I'll help you and I'll restore you. And also, if you've ever walked with God and had a relationship with God and you choose to walk away, you're taking a horrible chance. A horrible chance. Because it's possible that you can get yourself in such a condition that you won't be able to make it back to God. Because when you walk away from God, you walk away from his protection. When you walk away from God, you may be thinking you're having fun, but you're walking into a cesspool of danger, and you may not make it back. You may not physically be able to make it back. You may lose your life on the way out there to have fun. You may not make it back. There's no guarantee. God loves you, but he works with his people, and he keeps them inside a circle, and he protects them. And outside that circle, it's dangerous out there. It's dangerous out there. And so this young man came back into the church, and after 2 or 3 years of really working diligently and having a great testimony and really seeking after God and walking upright again. We were so thrilled to see him walking with God. But before he had left that first time, or before he had come back, God showed me a vision. I saw a car twisting and turning, hitting another car in the middle of a highway. I was his pastor. And I saw this person in that car. Only in my vision, he was killed. And I shared this with our church several years ago. He was just destroyed. His body was destroyed. He was all mangled up, and he didn't make it. But I woke up from that dream or vision or whatever it was, happy that it had not been a reality. It seemed so real. Thinking, he's out there somewhere. He's out there somewhere. Hopefully, he'll make it back. The pastor doesn't want to see you lost. That's because God doesn't want to see you lost. But I shared this with our church several years ago, and I said, let's pray for that young man, because I see him in a twisted pile of junk with blood all over his body, dying in a car wreck. Well, then, not long after that, he came and gave his heart to God, and everything was all right. It seemed like, probably to the skeptic, if they wanted to be skeptical, pastor must have ate too much pizza the night before. Or maybe it was just one of those dreams. But we don't have just one of those dreams when we're dealing with souls. Amen. A lot of times there are visions that come. God doesn't deal with us in time the way we see time. These limitations that we put on one another and the restrictions we put on ourselves are not as the way God deals. God deals in a different realm altogether. So after several years of working with this individual and helping this person, again, all of a sudden, my heart was broken. I saw a person drawing back, pulling back. A pastor can't help but notice these things. When you're in the church and when you're in leadership and you start looking across the congregation, you can see, you can spot it. You know when they're not with it anymore. Those that have once worshipped God and raised those hands and praised the Lord, and now they just don't seemingly have that joy anymore. Something's wrong. We don't always know what it is. It could be maybe something wrong somewhere else and they're concerned about it. And sometimes we know what it is. Sometimes it's just plain out rebellion. It's just resistance against the good things of God. And sometimes we're just really concerned because we want to see you saved. We really want to see you saved. But this person was back with us in service again and was worshiping God and even preaching and seeming like everything was just going to be all right. And all of a sudden, the body was there, but the spirit was no longer present. It was like physically the individual's in church, but where is the person that was worshiping God? Then one night I was thinking that the person was sitting there with me in the ministry, which we use a lot on the internet. I thought that person was helping me in the ministry to minister when I had to confront him about some things that he was doing that's available for anybody. But people of God do not browse those sites that I saw this young man browsing. It would be better to never even touch a computer. If you can't keep your eyes and your fingers off of the bad stuff, it would be better not to have a computer in your home. It would be better to stay away from the internet. If you can't keep from watching bad programs on television, you don't need a TV in your house. If you can't keep from reading good books, if you can't read the bad stuff in the bad magazines or maybe the pretty good magazines, get rid of your magazines. And I'm telling you, we're going to have to pull ourselves back from evil. And I'm not here to address TV or internet or all those things. That's not what this is about. I'm just telling you, there are many things out there, and if your heart's not right with God, you will go after those things. The list is too long to start saying, let's preach against this or let's preach against that. We can't control holiness by telling you, you can't look at this, you can't look at that. But you can have holiness, and we don't have to worry about that anymore. If you get holiness, you will choose the way of God every time. But I found this person choosing the way that's not of God. And I had to confront this individual. Person that I loved, person that I cared about, person that God had used. And I told him again, God showed me a vision of you. And a mangled up, twisted car wreck. Dying. And I hope it never comes to pass. I said, I hope I had too many beans to eat the night before. But I'm warning you, don't walk away from what you've got a hold of. Grab a hold of this with all your heart. Last night, he did walk away again. He chose to go away, and he left. Last night, while I was preaching, God spoke to this pastor. And witnesses here, my brother's with us tonight, heard me say this in the middle of the message. I said, no, you know, a few minutes ago we were praying. We were praying, and while we were praying here, somebody was out there going down the highway with screeching sounds, with cars running together, calling on the name of Jesus. At that moment is when that young person had his head-on collision last night. Now, this was not a coincidence. This is not something that just happened. This is something that happened as a result of somebody saying, I'm not going to serve God anymore because I have made my choice. I've had this. Now I'm going to go out there and have some fun. 2 years ago, he was saying, hallelujah, I love Jesus with all my heart. Tonight, he lies in a hospital intensive care unit with a broken sternum, with a broken arm, with a crushed leg, with a broken hip, with a lot of broken ribs, possibly a spine that has been broken and possibly going to be paralyzed for life if he even lives. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it have been better? Wouldn't it have been better if he had just pushed that little thing that was luring him the wrong direction away and said, I want to live for God? Wouldn't it have been better, even if you had a few boring church services, to be able to come to a boring service tonight? I guarantee you that young person would rather be here now than where he is now. And I'm not saying God made him have a car wreck, but God knows everything. He knows the direction we're taking, and God is able to reveal things to ministers. If your pastor has ever said to you anything such as, if you go that way, this can happen to you. Be very careful. Don't take it lightly. God is not playing games. God is not playing games. He doesn't want you to serve him because you're afraid of what might happen to you out there. But he's loved us so much. Why can't we love him enough to stick with him? He loves us enough to bless us when we want a blessing. But God, in his mercy, somehow has spared this person's life. His mother, who didn't speak to me for years, called last night. Brother Rutledge, crying. You're the only person that my son will listen to. The last time he went to church was when he went to the church that you pastor. Can you do something? And I said, Sister, I can pray. I said, where is he? She said, Nashville, Tennessee. What hospital is he in? She told me the name of the hospital and told me the condition, critical, maybe would not make it. Well, it just turns out that due to a series of events and due to a business I'm involved in to help apostolic preachers around the world, and due to the fact that I'm independent and I try to stay clear of being joined to any particular group so I can help service all of them without being a part of anything that people might rope me into. I enjoy my freedom and yet enjoy my fellowship. And I've had enough of the abuse of some of the people out there that like to be my boss, and I don't want their being my boss anymore. And it just so happened in the position I find myself in, where that young man was actually helping me do the work that we do a year and a half ago, sitting at my side, but he drifted off. It just so happened that very work has me on my way to Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm leaving Monday. And he's lying there with all these instruments on him, and they're trying to see if he's ever going to move again or be able to do anything again. Well, God's going to put me right at his bedside Tuesday night, if he's alive, to say, you know, God still loves you. God still loves you. Hallelujah. And I just wanted to say those things tonight in case there might be somebody here, a young person maybe 14 years old, a young person maybe 10 years old, a young person maybe 50 years old, that's just maybe thinking a bit about maybe I should try this, maybe I should try that. Hey, remember again, this is church, that's your pastor, God is real. Let's praise him right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And while you're standing, I want to have a prayer request. I want you to pray for Brother Bobby Smith, who has stood in this pulpit That's the young man I'm talking about tonight. Pray that God will have mercy and use us again to bring back that love for God that you can never be satisfied until you've gotten it right. Pray that God will go with me to that bedside. Because it's not just Bobby I'm talking about. I'm sure a lot of you have noticed he doesn't come around anymore. And if he ever comes back again, if he's ever restored, even if he's in a wheelchair, I know that you're a family that will love him. And you will be glad to see him here. Because that's what this love of God is all about. We're a family of God who can see people come back and praise God because they've been rescued, regardless of the condition they come back in. But I want to ask you to pray, not just for Bobby, but pray for the other young people in this church that might be just thinking about. When you start flirting with this idea, you've already gone away from God. You need help. Pray that God will use all of us to bring everybody back to this focus where we should be tonight. Don't let it get away from us. We serve a great God who cares enough about us to warn us. We don't need to be drifting. We need to get our mind on God. We need to get our hearts on God. We need to get our souls in tune with God and put our best into it. Amen. So would you just pray for Bobby and pray for me, but also in this prayer, pray for anybody in this group that you can think of that may need help tonight. Or maybe somebody that's not here tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody that you're concerned about. Call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, I'm praying now, God, that you would take, Lord, the efforts of this people, the words that we're speaking, God, the plea before God, and help us, Lord. We're not asking God necessarily to heal a body or put back together a broken bone, although, Lord, we ask if it be possible that you would do that. But what we're concerned about, Lord, if there's anybody that's walking away or going in the wrong direction, that you would deal with our hearts, deal with our souls, help us, God, to reach them before it's too late. Before they get so lost that they can't find their way back. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because God, you do speak with your ministry. You do warn us. You do tell us. You do love us. You do reach for us. And a lot of problems can be avoided if we will listen to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I love you tonight. I thank you for the victory of every young person in this church. I thank you, Lord, I don't speak, Lord, out of doubt tonight. I speak in faith that if anyone here is going the wrong direction, they're going to grab a hold even tonight and say, I choose my God above anything in this world. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You can be seated a moment. Chapter 8 in the book of 1 John. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Chapter 4, 1 John. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. This is the word of God. Chapter 4, 1 John. Don't believe every spirit. You know, it's possible to be listening to a spirit that's not God, and you think you're hearing from God. It's possible. It's possible to make your decision based on what you heard God say to you. Sometimes it's good to stop in your tracks and measure what's being said against the Word of God. God will never direct us to do something that His Word will not back us in. God will never tell us to go a direction inconsistent with what's already recorded in the Bible. He will never tell us that we should rebel against what's being taught over the truth pulpit. He will never tell us that we should have an attitude and resent the authority of those that have rule over us in our church. God will never do that. He will never tell us that we should just decide to do it our way and not pay attention to what's being told that we should do. God will never lead us in that direction. Never. Amen. So when you feel God speaking to you saying, it's time for me to rebel against what's going on here, you need to get down on your knees and rebuke that devil in Jesus' name. Because God's not going to tempt you in that way. He's not going to lead you in that way. It's time to start taking some of these spirits to court. Time to have a trial and see who's guilty around here. Hallelujah. It's time for somebody to rise up and say, I'm the prosecuting attorney here and I'm ready to prosecute. This spirit's acting like it's God and trying to tell me how to live. And it's guilty of messing my life up. And I'm not going to put up with it anymore. Your Honor, I'd like to see this spirit put to death. I'd like to see this spirit locked up for a long time. And the judge is listening. And I guarantee you, if you get a hold of this thing just right, he will let you stand in his courtroom, plead your case. Amen. Because he's already got something reserved if that criminal even tries to look in your direction. It's going to be a long punishment. But don't let it end up with you going to prison with him. Don't get yourself all linked up with a bad spirit. Say, hey, he's guilty of some things, but I agree with him on some things too. We need to try all these spirits because they're not all of God. Many false prophets. There are many things that have come to us that are not true. Even our thoughts sometimes can be as a false prophet. We can think thoughts that are just downright carnal. And we think that we're thinking right. A lot of illusions can come our way, and we think that we're following off after a sign that came from God. We need to be careful. And yet, love God with all our heart to the point that we're not careful for anything in the kingdom of God. But make sure that we check things out if we're about to take a direction. I really don't know why I'm lingering on this so long tonight, but maybe somebody here needs to hear this tonight. Maybe somebody here needs to realize tonight that this is really important, that we hang on with all our hearts to what we've got. I know there are bumps along the way. I know there are times when you don't know what's going on and why it's happening and why this one says that and that one says that and this one does that and this one does that. And you wonder and you get a little confused sometimes about why people do as people do. But there's never an excuse to turn loose of God and walk away. You can't blame it on your mama. You can't blame it on your daddy. You can't blame it on your preacher, your Sunday school teacher, or your mother-in-law. If the church splits in 10,000 pieces and everybody hates each other, there's still no reason for you not to love God with all your heart. Hallelujah. Don't believe any of these spirits that try to tell you. You got a reason to feel like you feel. You got a reason to see what you see the way you see it. You're justified in your action because you don't worship like you used to. God understands that. No, God does understand it, but not in the way you're being told by this false idea. God wants you to put Him first. In your downtime, worship Him more than ever. When you don't feel like it, do it more than you did when you felt like it. You ever got to where you don't feel like praying? And then you started praying anyhow, you know what happens? You start feeling like it. If you'll overcome that feeling, I don't feel like it. Oh, that spirit's not of God. It doesn't matter how you feel. Your old flesh is going to die anyhow. What is it inside of you that God's given you? Isn't it the Spirit of the Holy Ghost? Isn't it the promise? Isn't it the power? If you would just start those lips to moving a little bit, you can almost go to sleep and God will keep them moving for you. Hallelujah. You can be so tired you've got to lay that old body down. But if you start calling on the name of the Lord and praise Him a little bit, your feet will start dancing around a little bit. You'll start feeling like you've had a good night's rest. You ever gone to church feeling so tired, worked so hard, and long about 10 o'clock that preacher's still preaching, and all of a sudden you feel like you can't go another step, but then you feel something, and then you see something, and that old hand goes up,
and those tears start flowing, and all of a sudden it seems like you just got here, and you just woke up, and you had a good night's rest, and you find yourself bouncing around, singing a song, waving a hand, saying, I'm feeling good, everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah! Don't believe those old spirits out there. God loves you, and God will worship, bring worship out of you. When you don't feel like praising God, praise God. Hallelujah. When somebody's done you wrong and you feel like you're justified in the way you feel, get past it, get over it, and give your whole presence to God. Lift up your voice in praise. Lift up your hands and adore Him. He's worthy. Hallelujah! 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 Thank you, Jesus. See, I'm about to close. But this verse 2 says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, a lot of people just read that on the surface. And they say, yo, I can confess that Jesus came in the flesh. But can you confess that He has come where you are? You got some flesh you need to deal with too. Have you got redemption power in your body tonight? Your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You got something inside of you that's wanting to keep you, that's wanting to help you. And that old flesh wants to go the wrong way. That old flesh wants to do the wrong thing. Can you confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh? Can you tell your hands to do the right thing? Can you tell your mouth and your tongue to speak the right thing? Can you tell your brain to think the right things? Can you confess that Jesus Christ is in my life? Jesus didn't just come in the flesh 2,000 years ago. But the night that you got on your knees and said, I want Jesus in my heart. I want to give my life to God. I repent of those nasty sins. He came in the flesh again. But not as a carpenter walking on a seashore. But as the Holy Spirit inside of you. He didn't change the nature of God to a fleshly nature. But He gave you power to overcome your flesh. Hallelujah. You don't have to follow after your lust anymore. You've got a spirit in you that if you will open your mouth and confess it, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is there where that temptation is to gird and guide and to help and give you something to lean on. You don't have to yield to temptation because Jesus is inside you. Hallelujah. Can you confess it? Can you confess it that Jesus has come in the flesh? Hallelujah. You have to keep your body under subjection. See, saying it's one thing and doing it is sometimes something else. Being able to say that I got the Holy Ghost 25 years ago, thank God He gave it to me back then. That's one thing. But can you say tonight, it's keeping me, guiding me, leading me, strengthening me, and I feel more victory in my life tonight than I did back then, because Jesus is with me now. Hallelujah. And if you got some spirit that says, well, it used to be good back in the good old days, hey, that's not a God. I remember back when we had a lot of people in our church. We used to really worship God then. Well, what's wrong with worshiping Him now? You see, where two or three are gathered in His name, Jesus said, there am I in the midst of them. I'll receive the praise. I want to tell you, I don't care where I go, there's two or three of us there. I mean, John here later on, he said, no man has seen God at any time, yet he had walked with Jesus. He had talked with Jesus. He had looked at Jesus. But after all those experiences of looking at the man Christ Jesus, he wrote in the book, nobody has seen God at any time. So what was he looking at? Well, he was looking at the man who was wonderful, who was counselor, who was mighty God, who was everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But there was something that he was not able to see there. It was that something that bigger than all creation. It's that something that was in Christ and that Christ was in. It's that something that upholds all things by the word of His power. You can look upon the flesh, but there's something greater than flesh, and it's called the Spirit of the living God. And you can overcome your flesh if you let the Spirit get in you. Amen. Even the example of Jesus crying, and as it were, great drops of blood, although it's sweat, as he was under such a strain in the garden, crying out to the Father. It wasn't a little boy crying out to a daddy who was a man. It was a fleshly Son of God, virgin born, whose Father was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God crying out to that Spirit, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. And a lot of people even see that just on a surface. Jesus already knew what the will of God was. He came to accomplish the will of God. A lot of the sweat and perspiration, as if it were drops of blood, was something beyond being, being afraid. He wasn't like these little sissy people that claim to be Christians talk about. He wasn't scared of the cross. He wasn't afraid to go up to that cross. His whole mission in life was to come here and bleed and die because he was sent of God to do this very thing. He wasn't crying out like a crybaby, I don't want to go through with this. But he was saying, not my will, but thine be done. What was happening was he was overcoming anything in the flesh that was going to hurt, anything that was going to have pain, anything that was going to suffer, because he wanted to do the will of God. Let this cup pass from me if it be thy will, was a victorious statement. And sure the flesh will cry. Sure the flesh will hurt. Sure the flesh will dread the pain. But there's victory in doing the will of God. Hallelujah! He endured it. Yes. Passed through it. I'm glad Jesus didn't backslide. No. I'm glad Jesus didn't say, well, I don't think I want to go any further in this church. I'm glad he didn't decide to go. One of those spirits are saying, hey, if you go this way, you do that, I'll give you the whole world. You just do what I want you to do. I'll give you everything. I'm glad there was something greater inside of Jesus than flesh that said, it is written. It is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Get behind me, Satan. Hallelujah. If you got that Spirit of Christ in you, best way to confess it is just tell old Slewfoot to get behind you. In Jesus' name. We know the Spirit of God. Hereby we know the Spirit of God, because there are false spirits out there, and we get to where we recognize these things. We can know the difference. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. In other words, if you're going around saying, I couldn't help it, that's not of God. If you've ever lived for God, then you can help it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You think God is a loser? You think the Lord Jesus ever lost a battle? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To say, I can't make it. Where did that come from? The Lord's people are the ones that say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And all things work together for the good of those that love God and are the called according to His purpose. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus come in the flesh, in other words, if you just can't make it, can't do it, that's the spirit of Antichrist. People are waiting on some big booger to sit on some throne and rule over us and be an Antichrist. You might ought to check yourself and find out who the real person of sin might be. It might be you. You may be the one that has the spirit of Antichrist. See, we don't need to be too afraid of all these alarming scare tactics of a lot of the religious people who tell us, because of what's happening over there and what's happening over there and what you read in the newspaper, this has to happen because the Bible says this is going to happen before that happens. It could very well be that the very spirit that you're really up against is that spirit that's lying to you tonight. It says you're not going to make it. You don't have what it takes. You can't endure this. Hallelujah. That's not of God. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Amen. And it may not rule the whole world, but it's going to rule your world unless you can shake it loose like a snake. Just shake it loose in the fire. Amen. I'm almost through. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Isn't it beautiful to read the Word of God and be reminded of this? We've got power in us. It's greater than that that's in the world that's trying to take us out. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and He knoweth. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. If you're not hearing what's going on tonight, you may not be of God. If you cannot hear what this preacher's saying to you tonight, you may not be of God. Your spirit may not be of God. You may have a spirit of Antichrist leading you right now, claiming to be the answer in your life. But are you hopeless? I would think not. And not in this place. You've got a man sitting here as a watchman on the wall saying, "Hey, don't pass by my office without saying hi to me. Where are you going so fast? What's going on here? Where you been? What you been up to?" You got somebody here that loves you enough to stop you in your tracks and say, "So where were you last Sunday night?" He doesn't bat an eye. He looks straight at you. Is it because he doesn't like you anymore? No. He's concerned for your soul. And you may have something a hold of you like an old snake wrapping itself around you. And it's around your ears and around your brain and around your hands. And you can't move like you want to move. And you can't think like you want to think. But there's somebody here saying, "I want to get your attention. You may be going too fast in that direction. Stop a minute. Let's think about the goodness of Jesus. We got a good church. We got some good people. We got some people who love God around here. Let's hang on a little while longer and see what God is going to do." Hallelujah. We need a friend in the ministry. Let's all stand and praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need the pastor to be your friend enough that he can point his finger in your face and say, "Come on, do right." That's love. It's not abuse. It's not somebody trying to be Lord over God's heritage. Amen. It is God doing His work in the ministry. Amen. Pastor, if you have to, whip me into shape. I want to go to heaven. And I want to overcome this world. And I don't want to end up in some mangled up wreck in a hospital bed after I've done this work for God. feeling like it, all hope is gone. Oh, God, let me spend the rest of my years with some victory in my life confessing that Jesus has come in the flesh. And when these eyes want to look at the wrong thing, help me close those eyes and meditate on the goodness of Jesus. Let's praise Him one more time. Hallelujah! 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 Thank you, Jesus! Yeah.